History at Hand, revision at your fingertips. How did the First World War change life for the people in Britain? This podcast focuses on all the different aspects of how life was changed by 1914 to 1918. We'll look at recruitment and conscription, the role of the government with censorship and propaganda, the changing role of women, changing attitudes as the war unfolds, and rationing and the effects of submarine warfare. It is important to remember that the section in the exam on Britain in the First World War is entirely source-based in its questions. All sources, though, require a great deal of own knowledge in order to support what is being said in the source and to be able to interpret its contents effectively. So, don't just assume that because it's a source exercise that you don't need lots of background knowledge. With a firm foundation in knowledge, you will do much, much better. We will start by looking at recruitment and conscription. Britain had a very small army in 1914 by international terms. Only about 100,000 troops were in the British Expeditionary Force, which was sent to France in August 1914. If Britain was to make a fully effective contribution towards the defeat of Germany, then more troops were necessary, and soon. It soon became clear that the war would not be over quickly, and as a result of that, the need for troops became greater and greater. The outbreak of war, though, was greeted with immense enthusiasm in August 1914, and 500,000 men signed up in just that first month alone to join the army. Many signed up out of a sense of duty and patriotism, a love for their country, and the belief that they were fighting for just and right principles. For others, it was more a hatred of the Germans and what they had done to Belgium, which made them want to sign up. Propaganda helped in ensuring that people knew what Britain was fighting for, and also to vilify the enemy. Stories were cast of German atrocities against women and children in particular. This made more want to sign up in order to do what they saw as the right thing: defeat the evil German. For many people, war offered an alternative to a boring, humdrum lifestyle. War offered a sense of adventure, a sense of excitement, a belief in doing something greater than what was usually done before. Many people had never left their hometowns before and never been out of the country. So with war came adventure, exploration, meeting new people. It was all very exciting. For others, it was a chance to find meaningful employment and better wages than they had been offered in their civilian lives. There was a great deal of pressure put on people to sign up. This came from their friends, their pals, who would sign up together in order to serve together on the Western Front. Pressure also came from women, wives, mothers, sisters. It would seem to be a shame to have someone who didn't sign up in the family. White feathers were presented to individuals who were seen to be avoiding their responsibility. At first, conscription was very successful. As we said, 500,000 signing up in the first month. Statistics continue to show that volunteering for the army was incredibly popular in the first year of the war. But by the end of 1915, the numbers who wanted to sign up had started to tail off. In January 1916, therefore, before the Battle of the Somme, the great pushes of 1916, we see that conscription is finally introduced. This meant that all adult males had to register in order to be signed up for the army. In August 1914, the government introduced DORA, the Defence of the Realm Act, and this gave them many more powers than they had previously had in order to ensure that Britain was as well prepared as possible in the war effort. DORA gave the government far-reaching powers. This made sure that production was actually geared towards success and victory in war. It meant that censorship and propaganda were introduced. This control of the media meant that people back home didn't have a full understanding or flavour of what was actually happening on the Western Front. Newspapers and newsreel films presented the British as heroes, carrying out great and heroic deeds and vilifying the Germans' activities. By these means, the British were able to keep the public in the dark more about the sheer horror of what was happening to their men. DORA also meant that the government was able to take over factories, especially munitions factories, so that they could produce what was needed for the Western Front, particularly in the production of shells. Many women were to be employed in these state-run factories. DORA also meant that the government could change working hours and introduce British summertime to ensure there were more hours of daylight for working in. They were also able to restrict the hours that pubs could open and watered down the beer in order to ensure that the workforce were contributing most effectively to making the war effort successful. Before the First World War, many women were involved in the campaign to give women the right to vote. The war meant that they brought that campaign to a stop. They demanded the right to serve rather than the right to vote, and wanted to participate as fully as possible in anything that could help towards success and victory in war. In the early months of the war, women played a crucial role in encouraging their menfolk to sign up for the army. Once all these men had gone off to fight, that left many gaps in the workforce, which only women could then fill. With the help of the government, with DORA, many women found themselves in work situations which would have been unheard of before the war broke out. Women went to work in the munitions factories, where they became known as canaries, being covered in various yellow-coloured chemicals. They also worked at other fields, such as in transport, driving buses, delivering the mail, cleaning windows, firefighting, shipbuilding, steelmaking. Women showed that they were just as capable as men in many of these fields. Over 100,000 women volunteered to join the Women's Land Army. These land girls helped to actually feed the nation at a time when rationing was being introduced. Other women wanted to play a more direct role in the actual conflict itself. 23,000 women served as nurses close to the front lines. A further 15,000 volunteered in voluntary aid detachments run by the Red Cross. On top of this, some women actually joined the armed forces. The Women's Army Auxiliary Corps was formed in 1917, and it took over many of the office jobs which were required. That freed men up to fight, and so contributed significantly towards success in the war. The war fundamentally changed the role and status of women in British society. With nearly 1 million serving in the munitions factories, their contribution to eventual victory was absolutely vital. By 1918, it was clear that women should be rewarded for their efforts, and in 1918, the Representation of the People Act gave them the right to vote if they were aged over 30, or the owners or married to the owners of property. The war also gave women a greater taste for independence. They found that they could actually live on their own, with their own means. Getting married and having children was no longer the only path open to women of all classes. The people of Britain found themselves under siege during the war. The North Sea coast towns of Whitby, Scarborough and Hartlepool were shelled by German warships in December 1914. In 1915 and 1916, raids by airships, zeppelins over London and other towns in the east of England caused a lot of damage and many casualties. But the biggest danger to the citizens of Britain was from submarine warfare. It was preventing the supply of food reaching British mouths. These German U-boats were blockading British ports and sinking British merchant ships bringing grain and other food supplies into Britain. In 1917, Germany reintroduced unrestricted submarine warfare in an effort to bring Britain to her knees. At one stage, Britain had only 6 weeks' supply of wheat left. In 1917, a system of voluntary rationing was introduced, endorsed by the royal family and everyone downwards. People were asked to eat only 1.1 kilograms of meat a week. The government was unwilling to introduce compulsory rationing because of the effect it may have on morale. Compulsory rationing was introduced eventually, though. In 1918, rationing was introduced for sugar, butter, tea, jam, margarine, meat, bacon. Rationing ensured a fairer distribution of resources across the country. Other methods, as well as rationing, were used to help alleviate the food crisis. On the high seas, a convoy system was introduced, which made sure that the merchant ships bringing the supplies to Britain were no longer so vulnerable to the German U-boats. This proved very successful by 1918. Also, a great deal of land, such as public parks, was given over to the production of food, and the Women's Land Army helped to make sure there were enough people employed in the harvesting of all of this food. Women were given new recipe books in order to try and make what they had go that little bit further. Propaganda films in the cinemas made sure that people were aware that they had to save vital things, as all of it would contribute to a final victory over the Germans. The war did have a profound effect upon people's lives in Britain. From the early enthusiasm of 1914, when hundreds of thousands of young men signed up in the hope for adventure and heroism, it turns into the stalemates of 1915, the bloody horror of 1916 and 17, and the eventual victory of 1918. As time went on, life became harder for the people of Britain, and their early enthusiasm was changed into something a little different. In spite of news of losses, and most families would have experienced some sense of loss during the First World War, the government was able to maintain morale. In spite of the fact that food was in short supply, the government was able to maintain morale. People showed a steely determination to see the war through. And by 1918, in spite of the fact that many countries had suffered to the point of revolution, such as Russia and then Germany, the British had maintained a sense of perseverance and a sense of confidence that all would be right in the end. As we have seen, Britain was profoundly affected by the experience of the First World War, as well as the thousands, millions of troops who went off to fight and the hundreds of thousands who never returned. There was profound change in how women were seen in society and their role. There was profound change in how the government was able to maintain control of the people. There was a profound change in how information was distributed. What we do discover, though, is that the British, through all the hardships, through the rationing, through the losses, were able to maintain their spirit and see the war through to the bitter end.